Ukraine's military has fought so effectively that Russia abandoned its Plan A, which envisioned a quick takeover of the capital, Kyiv. Russia has now turned to Plan B, with troops focused on the eastern part of Ukraine. NPR's Greg Myrie looks at what this new phase of the war means for both sides.
Ukraine has so far made the most of one key asset, the home field advantage.
People are motivated to defend their territory when it's their home turf, more than people are motivated to attack it.
Gideon Rose is with the Council on Foreign Relations and the author of How Wars End.
You can see that the soldiers and the mercenaries on the Russian side are not particularly motivated, whereas the Ukrainians defending their homes are.
An invading army, like Russia, has to pack everything it needs: weapons, fuel, food, medical supplies. And Russian troops have been sleeping outside for weeks during the rough Ukrainian winter. As Russia regroups, it's concentrating forces in eastern Ukraine, just across the border from Russia. That could improve its troubled supply lines. But Corey Shockey at the American Enterprise Institute believes Ukrainians will keep the upper hand.
The Ukrainians will still have big advantages. Everybody knows where all the streets go. Everybody knows who lives where. Whereas the Russians are fumbling their way around a foreign country.
Here's one remarkable fact of this war. Russia still hasn't captured a single major city. The Russians recently retreated from around the capital, Kyiv. They're expected to move across Belarus and Russia and rejoin the fight in eastern Ukraine. But just getting there poses a challenge.
The Ukrainians have interior lines of communication. They can move troops inside their own country. The Russians have to go out and around, extending the mileage on tanks and everything else, and the wear and tear.
As this battle looms, Ukrainian leaders are urging civilians to leave eastern Ukraine for their safety. On the battlefield, the Ukrainians have been highly successful with small mobile weapons like Javelin and Stinger missiles supplied by the U.S. Still, the Ukrainians are pleading for heavy weapons like tanks and big artillery guns that could be critical in the fighting to come.
They just need everything. I mean, the wars are very greedy in using up material.
Professor Lawrence Friedman teaches war studies at King's College London. He says fighting in the East could feature entrenched battles, more suited to Russia's large, hulking weapons.
Ukraine, you talked about it being like a World War II battle. I mean, the two sides could be hammering away with each other with artillery.
Yet Friedman also notes that Russia's struggles could multiply as the fighting grinds on.
They're badly damaged. They've lost a lot of kit. They've lost a lot of people. Their morale will be down. They're scraping around for reserves. So the army is just not as strong as it was 6 weeks ago. Indeed, it's been, in many respects, degraded.
Which leads to another key factor. How much endurance can each side muster in a fight that's likely to drag on for months or longer? The war has united Ukrainians, who've shown a strong will to fight and no appetite for compromise, says Corey Shockey.
The overwhelming majority of Ukrainians want Russia pushed out of their country. And that's a powerful force, preventing a negotiated settlement.
Russian leader Vladimir Putin didn't get the quick and easy victory he expected. But even if the war keeps going badly for Russia, Putin is likely to keep on fighting until he works his way through the five stages of grief. Again, here's Gideon Rose.
Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. What ultimately has to happen is Putin has to accept defeat and choose to walk away, choose to retrench.
And that, he says, could take a long time. Greg Myrie, NPR News, Washington.